Yo, real life, welcome back to the podcast. I think you're going to love today. I know I say that every week, but for a couple of reasons today. One, if you have a friend that suffers with mental illness, I think you'll want to share this with them. We just have a gracious word for them in this podcast. And this was unscripted and unplanned, but toward the end of this podcast, I introduce our listeners to this paradigm of worship that John Piper gives in his book, Desiring God. Three levels of worship that I think will be hopeful to you in any season of life you find yourself in. So grab a friend, crank the volume, enjoy the podcast.
This is a podcast from Real Life Sango in Clarksville, Tennessee. Thank you for being a part of our online community. We would love for you to join us at 8:30 or 10 a.m. on Sunday morning at the City Forum. In the meantime, if you would like to share a prayer request, make a financial contribution, or take a step at Real Life, you can text MISSION to 97,000. Now enjoy the podcast.
Well, hello, Real Life Podcast Universe. Jonathan, good morning.
Good morning, Freddie. How are you this morning?
I'm doing good. My only regret right now is that our producer of the podcast, Daniel Cox, that we don't hit record before he prays, because he always kicks us off in prayer.
He does.
And I think it's the best part of the whole podcast. So if you're listening today, you just missed the best part because we weren't recording. Daniel kicked us off in prayer.
Daniel's so always very
thank
good.
Thank you, Daniel Cox.
Very diligent in doing that. It always kind of grounds us before we start.
Daniel's the old man that runs around with a camera on Sunday mornings.
It's not that
old. And I'll just give him an attaboy because he works hard to push out the podcast every week. And if you haven't seen his, Jonathan, I don't know if you see these. If you haven't seen Daniel's recaps, he does these little video recaps from Sunday morning. In this past week's was my favorite of all time.
Yeah, you showed me that actually okay. 2 days ago. It was super, super good.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, we were not there Sunday, but it was good.
I just keep worshiping. You were not there Sunday because
I just felt a little under the weather.
COVID!
No, I didn't. Who knows how that COVID is. But I had a little illness for
you
sure.
You didn't go test.
We didn't.
Because that disrupts everybody's life.
I think it's just
let's just not
go cold.
There. Let's just not go there.
Maybe a 2 day cold.
I did. There is this video. I did show you this video of this guy that's got the old school telephone cord wrapped around his face, and he's listening to the nurse telling him like he needs to get tested, but he doesn't really because there's
tests available.
He needs to quarantine, but he doesn't really, and
he doesn't need to come to work unless he really needs to come to work. it's an everyday thing for any business owner out there that someone calls sick. It's just
for all of us.
Where are we at?
Here we are Thursday, not our normal recording day. Because you were a little under the weather, we wanted JV 2.0, not 1.0, and but here we are Thursday. Montgomery County's already said kids are only going to school a half day because of
our favorite thing,
ice baby.
Rachel's favorite song growing up.
I probably sing that. Was it her favorite song?
Unfortunately, I even admitted that.
I had a big crush on this girl named Rachel in the seventh grade. Because I saw her dance at this middle school dance to Ice Ice Baby.
Vanilla Ice.
Yes.
Yeah.
Collaborate and listen.
Worst singer ever. Okay.
This is going south quickly, JV.
Yeah. Anyway.
Help us out.
So, Sunday I was not there. I did listen. Just as a note, for those that do listen at home, we listened at home as a family. And we listened to the 8:30. And we first started on Facebook. I'm not a YouTube person. I'm just not used to it.
Yeah.
And Facebook, we went to YouTube.
Yeah.
And everything sounded better on YouTube.
Yeah.
So if you're listening,
the quality of YouTube, it often can be better than Facebook.
So,
and that's just on those platforms. I mean, it's just the platforms.
That's right. Yeah. So your snow day at home, and then last week we listened at home, and both times YouTube. So if you're listening and you have to be at home and you're not able to join in person, try either one, whatever you can get to, but we found that YouTube had a better audio experience.
No, that's right. Well, and a couple other things on that. If you are worshiping at home, be sure to comment. Leave a comment while you're worshiping. Engage on that platform. I just, the other night, I saw a good friend, a real lifer, but he's not been in person in a long, long time. And he told me, he said, we're on the couch every Sunday morning watching. And I like to use the term worshiping. Yeah. You know, like I try to tell people, don't watch online, worship online, right? But I loved that they're worshiping every Sunday. And so if that's you, if you're worshiping at home, be sure to engage in the comments for your own sake, so you've got some connection, but also just to let us know you're there. Here, Jonathan, here's one of the big things. When people worship at home, they see me, their pastor, but I don't see them. So they have this experience of connection with us, but we don't have that experience of connection with them. So just food for thought.
We really enjoyed it. In fact, we're going to hit that in just a second. We had a couple do music on Sunday.
Oh, that's right.
The Mutt.
Tyler and Sarah Mudd.
So we took some of the songs they were singing, and we just turned on YouTube Music, and we started listening to it for an hour afterwards.
Yeah, they introduced a new song,
yeah,
a Maverick City song. Let me see.
Was that Maverick City?
Yeah, hang on, I'll tell you what it was called.
My wife's favorite pulling group it up. Now is Maverick City.
Let's see. Sunday was what, the 23rd or 30th?
30th.
That song, it's called The Story I'll Tell. The Story I'll Tell.
Okay, well, I'll listen to it today. Yeah. I didn't know it was a Maverick City song.
Yep, yep.
If you haven't heard Maverick City.
It's like Maverick City and
they've been
Tribal.
They've been really blessed with not just the content, but the presentation of the content of their music.
Tyler and Sarah Mudd are newlyweds. They're in Daniel Cox's community group. Community group plug. If you're not in a community group, what are you doing?
Okay. You are missing out.
Absolutely. It's where it's at. Absolutely where it's at. Well, you know, I so take it for granted. So take it for granted. God's been coming to Real Life for 3-4 months. Single dad. We hung out this week. Our meeting was going long, so I said, hey, you want to go to the basketball? I'm about to go pick up my son and take him to his basketball game. You want to go with me? He said, sure. So we just went and talked, and, you know, and he said, like, how do I engage at Real Life, you know? And he said, you know, I know I need to go through the path and all that, but, like, tell me, like, how does membership work? And, like, you know, what am I going to learn at the path, basically, you know? And I said, well, community groups are where it's at. And he said, well, that's kind of what I guessed. So I was like, let's go. 4 months, let's go.
It's really not that hard. You engage with people
like-minded
at church, and it'll be a better experience. But
I would push back. I would push back on that just a little bit.
Don't push back.
No, I'd push back on that just a little bit.
I'm listening.
When you said it's really not that hard. It's not complex.
That's fine.
But for people to step into a group of strangers can be very difficult.
You're right.
Yeah.
But it is not complex.
That's right. Very simple.
The formula is simple.
That's right.
But
the pathway.
But 44 in the path.
Oh, yeah. Week. That was great. Absolutely.
So real quick, the path is very simple. It's just a 2-week engagement.
That's
where you get to learn about Real Life Church.
Dig deeper, get connected, 2-week experience. They roll up every 4 to 6 weeks. Go to the path. You won't be disappointed. I mean, at the end of the path, you should have a good idea. Is this my church, or are we still looking?
Correct.
You know, because if you've listened to 3 or 4 sermons and you've worshiped with us, and then you go to the path, that's all we got. That's all we got. Well, can I tell you a funny story? Can I tell you a quick funny story?
Can I say no? No, just go. Yeah, go ahead and tell your funny story.
I've got a friend in Arizona, and they're looking for a new church, and they've been visiting these two churches. And she told me that she's going to go and sit down with both pastors, each pastors of these two churches. And I said, please don't tell the pastors that you're
interviewing them.
Yes. Yes. Please don't tell them that they're in a beauty pageant here. And I told her, I said, look, I said, if you came to me and you told me that you were like the next week you were going to go sit down with another pastor, I would just tell you to go to his church, because I'd much rather brag on my buddy down the street than to try to brag on myself. And I told her, I said, like, I give our church my best every Sunday morning, right? So, like, if you're expecting to get something better from me than what you get on Sunday morning, like, one-on-one over coffee, you're going to be so disappointed, you know? And I'm going to be so insecure. Like, if you come thinking there's more behind the curtain, I'm like, no, I leave it all out on the court every Sunday, you know? And anyways, I just told her, it's interesting, because there's this podcast out there about this church and about this pastor in this church. And I'm not even going to tell you the name of it because I don't want anybody to listen to it, because I just think it's a fascinating story. But I think the unintended consequences of this podcast is that it leads church members to be suspicious and not trusting. And trust is like the thing that makes church work, right? It's the thing that makes, you know, it's trust. So trust your pastors, or find a church where you can. Trust the elders of our church, or find a church that you can, right? It's so critical to your own spiritual health that you trust. Anyways, so I was telling my friend, I just called her out and I said, you're listening to too much of that podcast. And she said, yeah, you're so right. Because it's like the fact that she's sitting down with these pastors is because her listening to this other podcast has caused her suspicion to be really high. And, you know, and I just told her, don't tell them, you know, just don't tell them that you're, you know.
Well, I really enjoyed the music. The couple did a great job.
Yeah,
get back to where we started.
Moving on. Nice story.
So, but yeah, Tyler and Sarah, we really enjoyed them.
Yes, they're fantastic.
Hope to see them again on stage.
So. Newly married. Got married last year.
Well, all right. So also, you had, I'm going through the brain dump just a little bit.
Brain dump.
So one of the things was about a lady that showed up to the church. Give us just a little bit of background about that story, if you don't mind.
Which one?
This one would be the lady that had the husband with lung cancer.
Sunday night brain dump. That she has what?
The lady that had the funeral that called.
Oh, Marion Bly. So we got a phone call at the church office from a lady whose husband was dying. She moved to Clarksville last year. Hadn't been to Clarksville really a year. Maybe about a year. Her husband got a lung transplant in October, and he was dying. And so she called three churches, and our church was being one of them. They had not attended a church in Clarksville yet. And our church was the only church that called her back the same day. Praise God. We got an awesome team.
Got the team. Yeah.
And the other churches like called back 3 days later, you know. By the time we called her back, her husband had died. And so I reached out. And I mean, she didn't know anything. So I recommended a funeral home and offered to, you know, to preach her husband's funeral if she needed that. And they were believers, praise God. But alone and isolated here, they moved from like Vegas, I think, or Michigan. I can't remember which now in my head. It's just, you know. But Marion is a sweet, sweet lady. So I went to her house and learned about her husband. And so this was like 2-3 weeks ago, and Sunday she came for the very first time. Yeah,
great. So it's just a reminder what the church does behind the scenes.
That's right.
There are systems in place where people are calling people that are not real lifers, that Jeff and Daniel and Jenny and the full crew, volunteer and paid, like, are working very hard to be the hands and feet of Jesus.
That's right.
And I just want to make sure everybody understood that.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, I think you made a good point before we started. We need to open up our eyes, whether you're a real lifer or not. Open your eyes up. See who is your quote-unquote neighbor.
Yeah. Well, no. I love this. So two things. One, Jenny directed Bing to Marion first. So Bing, one of our elders, made the first point of contact. And because he discovered this is an extreme situation and then he actually died, then Bing alerted me, right? So we've got a team. As our church grows, one pastor can't, you know, shepherd a church of 500 plus. So we've got a great team of elders that lean in, you being one of those, Jonathan. Thank you for being who you are. So being reached out. Anyways, so that's great. I just want to highlight that we have a team of people that are ministering. And really our goal is to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, right? So just don't want to miss that. But I love what you just said. And this is the reason why we've planted Real Life and why Real Life exists today is there's people moving from a new state. They don't know anybody. And their life is in crisis. And they're living right next door to you, Real Lifers. Right next door to you. So here's Marion, new state, doesn't know anybody. Now she's a widow. Wow. Wow. What an amazing opportunity to minister to somebody. Yeah.
And now she has a church and she'll have a community group.
That's right.
We got Daniel Cox behind us. He did the same thing.
That's right.
How long has he been back? How long has he been from California?
Less than a year.
Less than a year.
Yeah. Cecile, Daniel's wife, Cecile, moves in.
Two weeks after next. Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, so Clarksville is growing, and that is a good thing, unless you're on the streets and it's a bad thing.
Yeah.
But it gives us great opportunity. That was the vision of the men that were meeting years ago praying.
That's right.
And this is the fruition of that.
Praise God.
Praise Him. Yeah. All right. Well, that's probably enough on the brain dump. You spoke on Psalm 90 on Sunday. So I want to tackle that a little bit, maybe in the next segment.
Yep.
Before we move on, let's take a little pause.
Are you in a community group at Real Life Sango? If not, why not? You know, we're not meant to live life alone, isolated from people. God wants us to be a part of His family. Community groups are where strangers become friends and friends become family. Let's not let the ideals of our culture today of consumerism and radical individualism isolate us from the family of God. Take a step today. Find your people. Step into community. Text MISSION to 97,000 and scope out the community groups. Sign up for one. Don't wait. Find your people today. All right. We're back. JV, you want to dig into the sermon from Sunday?
So before I want to talk about my takeaway, I did want to go over, you had three basic points about Psalm 90. Now, I love Psalm 90, one, because it's in God's Word, but because it's about Exodus, which is my second favorite book.
If you've been listening to the podcast long at all, you know JV is obsessed with the Old Testament, which is a great thing to be obsessed about.
Oh, this is so great that this was about Moses, a psalm of Moses, a prayer of Moses. We're gonna hit your three points real quick. Let's hit them real quick.
Yeah, right? Well, we laid the psalm in its context, but then we focused in on verse 14. And out of verse 14, we just said, pray this prayer, which is satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love, with your steadfast love. So pray this prayer and then make this possible. And so it's a little bit of a turn of a phrase, a little bit of a provocative language, just in the sense of like, God can't satisfy you unless you're making it possible by carving out an intentional time to meet with Him. So the idea is make the satisfaction of your soul possible. So pray this prayer, make this possible, and then enjoy His presence. Which I said in the second service, I don't think I said this in the first, is that if you've been tracking with us through this whole sermon series, every sermon's been the same sermon, just with a different text. And in that last piece of enjoy His presence, that's the message, right, of this whole sermon series, is delighting in God. But the reason that I'm doing that is because I wanted our congregation to see that I'm not just pulling out an obscure verse and kind of twisting it to make a point, but I'm just going through text after text after text after text to see, no, this theme of being satisfied by God is all through the Scripture.
Consistency of God's Word, because He is a consistent, steadfast God.
Amen.
I think so.
Yes.
So my takeaway, I did not get to go to community group this week, so Rach and I tried to talk later in the day, and my takeaway was satisfy. And let's just read the verse. I think it's worth it. That's Psalm 90, 14. You probably maybe in your car. You don't want to pull out your Bible, but here's what it says. Psalm 90, 14. Satisfy us in the morning with your faithful love, so that, we would call that, when I used my Latin days, that's a purpose clause, so that we may shout with joy and be glad all our days. Satisfy us in the morning with your faithful love. There's just a lot there. You could unpack that all day. But that word satisfy, so that's where I landed. And as you know, I'm kind of a word geek.
Mm-hmm.
And I use an app. You've told me about a better one this morning after all these months and years. Thank you, Fred. So I'll have to look that one up today. But satisfy us in the morning. It goes, if you look at this word, it means to satiate or satisfy. So I looked this word up, and it takes it all the way back to Exodus 16. Now, if you don't, I'm not going to do a little lesson this morning, but I do want to make a point that Exodus 16 has to do with the first instance of God giving manna to the people. And if you remember, they come out of the Red Sea, they go into the desert, they're like, what are we doing now? And what do they do now is they're like, we're hungry, what do we do? And so he comes to the people after they're grumbling to Moses and says, I'm going to give them manna. And if you don't know what manna is, look up Exodus 16. It's really, really a wonderful story. But he says in verse 8 and verse 12, but verse 8 of chapter 16, it says, Moses continued, saying, the Lord will give you meat to eat this evening and all the bread you want in the morning, for he has heard your complaints.
In the morning.
Do you hear what he said?
Yeah.
All you want. Same word, same exact word as the word in Psalm 90. Satisfy all you want.
Yeah.
You cannot ever be out-satisfied with God.
That's
and
good.
He says, in the morning, yeah. He is bringing us bread, which is what the manna was.
Yes.
He is bringing us bread in the morning. And if you read on, it says, who did not gather enough,
that's right,
did not lack. And who
that's
tried
right.
to gather too much,
that's right,
could not get the surplus. God is enough, and he is there waiting in the morning.
This is what crushes our pride, because when you study manna in the Old Testament, what you just said is if they tried to gather too much, it would rot. The manna would rot. It wouldn't be good. You couldn't gather it for the next day. You could only gather it for that day.
Because it would stink and worms would get in it.
Yeah, but that's so powerful for us in that. So this is what God's always been doing. He's always been satisfying his people, but he's always been doing it a day at a time. And so our pride makes us, Jonathan, want to go to church, get filled up, get our worship on, roll into Monday morning and live it out in our own strength, do our own deal, rush off and get our to-do list done and build our own kingdom and conquer the world. And meanwhile, we have a soul that is malnourished, a soul that's leaking, a soul that's not satisfied because we're not daily feasting upon the manna, the bread of life, Jesus himself.
Well, and this is the point. This was your point, was a point during this whole sermon series, Freddie. This is not about conquering or creating a kingdom. This is about daily delighting in God, in his presence. That's what he's called us to do.
Yeah.
Let's go back to last week's podcast. You know, Max was sick. We went through this whole thing about do not be anxious.
Yeah.
Because he said today is enough for you.
Yeah.
Today is enough of the burdens that you're going to have.
Yeah.
I'm going to be here with you all day. But guess what? In the morning, I'm going to be.
Yeah.
Tomorrow morning,
yeah,
I'm going to be there. Because that's where I need you to be.
Yeah,
because this is not about you conquering the day.
Yeah.
This is not about you getting through the week so you can struggle
right.
in on a Sunday morning.
Yeah.
This is that you can thrive every morning.
Yeah.
Enjoy, but you're only going to do that how?
Yeah.
Daily in his word.
Jesus said that eternal life is knowing him. And so the whole point of this is not, you know, us feeling like, okay, there's a formula for God to bless me. And that formula is I slow down and I read his word and I pray and then God blesses me. But it's realizing, no, God does want to bless me with the greatest blessing that he could bless me with. And that greatest blessing is himself. So he wants to give us himself and he wants us to enjoy an intimate relationship with him. So this hungering and thirsting that our soul feels and then the fulfillment that it finds in Jesus, it's found in this intimacy with God. And, you know, I just love it, Jonathan. I just love it when adults find Jesus and they find intimacy with God for the first time, because they remind all of us that have been walking with Jesus for a long time how wonderful it is. And that's why you've got prayers in the Psalms that say, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. Because salvation is when we found God. It's when we found his presence. It's when we found a relationship with him. And so that prayer is a really good prayer to pray. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation. And in this prayer, satisfy me in the morning with your steadfast love, with your unfailing love. So big point there, if you haven't been praying that prayer every morning since Sunday. Pray it today. Satisfy me today, and then carve out some space to read God's word, to sit in his presence, to remember his promises, to pray to him, and make it possible, and then enjoy his presence.
So again, just to underscore one more time, if you're not getting in God's word every morning, getting God's word every morning.
Yeah.
It's not because you have to, it's because you need to.
Yeah. And before I was thinking this morning, and I'll either do it this week or next week. I'm not exactly sure when, but I want to give our congregation a dozen prayers to pray as they're beginning to meet with God, as they're beginning to read his word. And one of them is, satisfy me in the morning with your unfailing love. Satisfy me today. I tell you, that's a great prayer to pray before you go to bed at night as you anticipate meeting with God the next morning. Satisfy me in the morning with your unfailing love. Jonathan, some Saturday nights I can't go to sleep because I'm so excited about worshiping with God's people and experiencing the manifested presence of God. But satisfy me in the morning with your unfailing love. Open my eyes that I may behold wonderful things of your law. Lord, fill my heart. Lord, draw near to me. Just all these requests that are asking for God to do what he's promised to do, but that positions our heart in a place of ready to receive from him. We get it backwards, Jonathan, when we think that our time with God is about us giving him something. Our time with God is about us humbling ourselves and recognizing God has no needs. The Bible says if he did, he wouldn't tell us what they were. He has no needs. We have infinite needs, but it's about us humbling ourselves to say, I need fulfillment. I long for satisfaction. I need strength. And God loves to rush into those humble prayers and satisfy us in his word and with himself.
So the underlying point here being is we will not find satisfaction in God's provision or the things that are not God's provision outside of himself.
Yep.
So he will satisfy us.
That's right.
If there's not enough manna, you can gather.
You want a little alliteration.
Yeah.
Don't go after the poison. Don't go after his provision. Go after his presence.
There you go.
Come on.
There's not enough manna you can gather in the day. It will just rot.
It's so good, man.
No, it will. It will just rot. So gather enough. He is enough. He is everything that we need in the morning.
Yep. Jonathan, we're recording this over at your lounge. Thanks for opening up your lounge and being so hospitable for us to record it. So I met with Jack, my oldest son, this morning, and we're just digging in, discipling, So I told Jack, I've been giving him questions to ask of the scripture text when he reads it. So just kind of teaching him how to examine the scripture text. And so this morning I told him, I said, go ahead and pick out a psalm that you want to ask those questions of. So he picked out Psalm 145. I don't know why. I didn't ask him why. He picked out Psalm 145. And so one of the questions is, what does this text teach us about God? Well, this psalm teaches us a lot about God. So he had a lot to write down, and then we prayed together these things back to God. But it's pretty awesome. Verse 16. Are you there?
Did you want
to read 16?
I will be happy to. So that's 145 of Psalm 145.
Yes.
Verse 16. You open your hand and satisfy, same word.
Come on.
And satisfy the desire of every living thing.
I love it. What's so beautiful about this is it shows how easy it is first for God to satisfy us, right? He just opens his hand,
How about if we say not complex? Because sometimes it is not easy.
It's easy for God.
That's right.
It's easy for him. Yeah. In other words, the opening of his hand. Yeah. In other words, God does not have to work hard to satisfy us.
That's right.
We have to work hard to be satisfied by God. So we have to throw off the doubt. We have to throw off the unbelief. We have to throw off the idolatry that we look to all these other things. We have to throw off our foolishness of looking to his provision, right? But then down in verse 19, he fulfills the desire of those who fear him. He also hears their cry and saves them. So this was a fun moment that I had with Jack this morning, Jonathan, because, he's listening to the sermon series that Dad's preaching, and so he just picks a random psalm opens it up, and this idea of delighting in God is being reinforced, you know, in this psalm.
Again, we'll say it again. Isn't it great how consistent our God is?
Absolutely.
I mean, go through it. This was, we call it biblical meta-narrative, but God is God and he never
changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the unchanging God. We are fickle. We are a roller coaster. We're high highs. We're low lows. But our God is the rock.
And wants us to experience that consistency every day.
Yes.
And we can only do it today, one day, and that is getting his word every day.
Lamentation says that his mercy is new every morning. I think Jeremiah wrote Lamentations, and in saying that his mercy is new every morning, the implication is don't try to live tomorrow on today's mercy. So again, the daily dependence upon God, the daily delighting in God.
Well, I think we've hit that one pretty hard. Any other last thoughts?
I love it. I love it.
About the sermon.
Looking forward to this Sunday.
All right. We're going to talk about this Sunday and maybe wrap it up a little bit for a shorter podcast today.
Sounds great.
All right. Let's take a pause.
Are you on social? Are you on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, all the spots? Did you know that Real Life is on all those platforms, and we send out amazing recap videos from every Sunday? They're inspirational. They help you carry Sunday with you. Did you know that I write out regular devotionals and that I push them out on my Facebook page? We just want to help you stay connected. So if you're on social, follow us today on Facebook. Follow me today on Facebook. Follow us on Instagram, follow us on Twitter, and you'll get all the latest info in real time at Real Life.
Man, I'm so glad you guys are dialing in with us in the podcast. Thank you. Thank you for listening to the podcast.
This was your fourth week preaching, I think it was.
I wish I knew.
I don't know either.
I don't want to blame it on COVID fog, but yeah, Daniel Cox is showing us four over there.
Yeah, I thought it was four.
Yeah.
So we might go five this week. So
we'll definitely go five this week. We may go six the week after.
Got it. So it's not because Freddie doesn't want to start something else. and so we talked about this before the podcast started. What I hope and what I struggle is, and I listen to other pastors during the week, is let's not compartmentalize a sermon series. Like, oh, we got the delighting thing. I can close that book now. Can't wait for the next one, whether we go back to Luke or whatever we're going to do next. This was, I believe, a wonderful start for the new year that we can now, I love the word extrapolate. I'm not going to talk about it again, but to extrapolate what you have given us.
An angel loses its wings every time you say the word extrapolate. We lose two podcast listeners every time you use the word extrapolate.
That we're going to now use this as a great foundation for this year, that we're going to realize that we can enjoy happiness and joy and delight among the sorrow, but we're going to do that. We're going to do that by digging in his word every morning and finding how he is there waiting for us to experience that joy, and that happiness, blissfulness among the sorrow and the challenges that we're going to face every day.
Jonathan, have you ever been in a place personally in your life where you didn't want to pursue God, or you wanted to pursue God but you felt like your soul was so numb or dry that you feel like you didn't have the spiritual strength to pursue him?
Yes.
Like when, I mean, can you just tell me about it a little bit.
Oh, I don't remember. There's probably several times, Freddie.
So the reason I asked, go ahead. What are you going to say?
No. Usually, I will tell you just very briefly. It's usually when I was younger, not necessarily, probably when I'm older too. It's that when I go into trying to be, quote unquote, a good Christian and do all the right things because I'm supposed to do that. Mm-hmm. And I go into that as an expectation of what I want, and I come out of that completely void and empty.
What do you mean? You're doing it because it's what you want. What do you mean?
Because I want to feel better about myself.
I got you.
Yeah. Kind of pharisaical.
Pat yourself on the back because I'm doing the right thing.
Or, you know, you feel the obligation or duty because you should do it.
Yeah.
And because of that, then God owes me something.
Yep.
And you're not going to get that.
Yep.
There's going to be complete emptiness in that. And so I've had seasons in my life where I've gone and done the right thing for really the wrong reason.
Yeah.
I still learned things about God.
Right.
But the end result was God saying, that was not the purpose for you to do those things.
Yeah.
And so then you just kind of get washed out.
Yeah.
And you're like, it didn't work.
Yeah.
And you're really not that smart at that time.
Yeah. So yours is more in like Pharisaism, religion, ritual. You know, I just think there's a number of things that could bring people to that place. The reason I asked you that question is because maybe there's somebody listening to the podcast today. Maybe they've been tracking with us. Maybe this is the first time they've jumped on. But this idea of pursuing God and finding joy in Him, maybe they feel like they have no spiritual strength to do this. I just want to say, ask for help. Just ask for help. Ask somebody. Go back to the prayer station on Sunday morning. Be honest with your community group. The scripture says that it's a broken heart and a contrite spirit that God will not despise. So if you find yourself broken, or if you find yourself even needing to be broken, I love this. John, but real quick, I wasn't planning on sharing this, but one of my favorite little, John Piper gives in his book, Desiring God, three stages of worship. Okay, let me break this down really quickly. I've probably shared this with you before. He has three stages of worship. And the first stage is kind of what we've been talking about, is this overflowing joy in God, right? So it's like, I am being satisfied. I am delighting in God. And I'm overflowing in the joy in Him. Daily, I'm delighting in His presence. So this is like the pinnacle of our delighting in God, of our worship. It's the highest form of worship, of delighting in God. Piper says it this way, God is most glorified in us when we're most satisfied in Him. But then he goes on to say, but oftentimes that's not our experience, right? That's not our experience many times. And he says there's another level of worship that still glorifies and honors God, and it's being broken that we're not overflowing with joy in Him. In other words, Jonathan, somebody is going to take us up on this, and they're going to start reading their Bible every day. But even as they read their Bible every day, they're not going to experience this overflowing joy. So there's a way to honor God. There's a way to worship God. There's a way to glorify God when you're not overflowing in joy, and it's to be broken that you're not overflowing in joy. It's to be sorrowful that you're not taking delight in Him. It's to be sorry that you're taking more delight in other things. This uniquely glorifies God because it's upholding Him as the fountain of living waters. You're broken that you're not taking delight in the delightful one. And then Piper gives us this like final layer of worship, this final level of worship. So if you can imagine this is down at the bottom, right? Overflowing with joy is up at the top, broken that you're not overflowing in joy is in the middle, in this bottom level is where you're not overflowing with joy and you're not broken that you're overflowing with joy, but you acknowledge that you ought to be broken, that you're not overflowing with joy. And I would say even when you're at this bottom of the barrel level where you're not overflowing with joy, you're not broken that you're not overflowing with joy, but you're willing to acknowledge that you ought to be broken, that you're not overflowing with joy, that honors God. That glorifies God because it recognizes Him for who He is. And that's hope-filled for me. That's hopeful for me because I've found myself knowing that the goal is delighting in God, knowing that the goal is being satisfied by God, but feeling light years away from that. And then I've feasted upon sin, or I've just feasted upon the provisions of God, and my soul is just like, I'm just not even broken about it. So what do I do then? What do I do? What do you do when you're not overflowing with joy and you're not broken, you're not overflowing with joy? What do you do? Well, you acknowledge to God, you say to Him, God, I should be sorry. I should be broken that I'm not overflowing with joy in You. And that prayer is a prayer that honors and glorifies God.
That's a great word, Fred. Yeah, I mean that.
Yeah, man.
Those three points are a great word because it. You know, I think I've heard this a lot in recent social interactions that it seems like we've all lost our grit.
Yeah,
there is a grit to life, unfortunately.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think what you just said was the grit of life. Mm. That it's not going to be all rainbows and unicorns, spiritually. Sometimes you're going to go meet God in the morning at 5:30 and open up the word, and it's just going to seem dry. Mm-hmm. And that's okay.
Yeah.
Because in a way, if you can acknowledge that, you're still where God wants you to be in worshiping Him.
Yeah. You know, Jonathan, one of the things, mental illness is real. It's very real. And so I'm sure we have plenty of people in our congregation that suffer with mental illness, and we've got great compassion for the for them. But when you read through the scripture, what you see are themes of desert, of desert. And I think what I want to say to God's people is you may be suffering with mental illness. And if you are, we see you, we support you. We're with you all the way. But I would also say, if you're hearing all this mumbo jumbo about joy, and you're like, not me, I ain't got it, hadn't had it in years, I must be mentally ill, I would say, just wait. Maybe don't like rush to that conclusion. But read through the narrative of the scripture and just recognize that God's people, God's chosen people, His adopted people, they spent years in the desert. Years in the desert. And man, I don't want anybody I love and care for to have to go through a desert season. But I just want you to know that is a spiritual reality in the pilgrimage of the children of God, our desert seasons where joy is not there. And so you don't have to reject this sermon series. You don't have to reject this idea if you're in a desert season. You don't have to say, all this preaching and teaching about joy, I'm in a desert season, I'm just rejecting that. And then you try to explain joy away, right? And say, well, happiness and joy are something different, right? I'm not going to go back there. But, you know, if you're just jumping in today, and this is the first time you heard me say this, just listen to the podcast. But seriously, like, I think people hear these things, and then they have to, like, they have to assimilate them into their lives, right? So they hear this reality that in God's presence is fullness of joy, and they've been in a desert for 2 years. So how do they assimilate that into their life? Well, I want to say the first option and the only option and the best option is not necessarily to assume that you must be mentally ill. It may be that in God's providential good pleasure, He's testing your faith in a desert season. It may be that you're in a desert season because of God's loving discipline for walking in a wayward way for a period of time. It may be that you're in a desert season for an unexplainable reason and that you won't know why you're there until Jesus comes again. But I just want to say the desert seasons are not bad, but they're hard. They're not wrong. They're not something that you should explain away or try to figure out or think that they're, you know, that necessarily you've done something wrong or that you have to reject this concept that in His presence is fullness of joy. Stay on the pilgrimage. Keep walking up the mountain. Keep going. Keep fixing your eyes on Jesus. Keep setting your mind on things above, not on the things of this earth. Keep fasting and praying. Keep crying out to your community group. Can I just say to every Real Lifer listening to this, you are not a burden to us. You are not a burden to God. You are a delight. You are a treasure to Real Life, to Real Life's leadership, to your community group. You're a treasure to God who made you. So let's grab hold of these truths and let's fight to experience the reality of the joy that God provides. But let's just not lose sight that desert seasons are real. And the fight sometimes has to be fierce. Don't give up. Don't give up fighting for joy.
You said it, and Rachel said this week, it has been so good, just even and for any parent, you know, we've gone through some snow and some sickness, and normalcy, quote-unquote normalcy, has been difficult to acquire, especially in the last part of January. And she said it has been such an encouragement for us to for us as our family, to realize that joy and gladness and happiness is a fight.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just not going to sometimes spring up easily.
Yeah.
You have to fight for it.
Yeah.
And to know who we are and who our God is and how great and loving He is.
So good. It's a fight.
All right, homeboy. Look forward to Sunday. It is Thursday. We're taping this. We're hoping we have very little to no ice. but be careful. Hope to see everybody on Sunday.
Yeah, bring a friend. Come on.
Yes.
Yeah, Jesus said, night is coming when no man can work. And what he was saying is life is short. James says life is a vapor. So you may not have next week to invite that friend. Bring him this week.
Great. All right, Fred, you want to close this out?
JV, thanks for this. Let's pray. Yeah. Father, we pray in Jesus' name and by the power of your Spirit. Lord, we're humbled by your love. Lord, we're strengthened by your promises today. Lord, I pray for every person. I do pray for those that suffer with mental illness in our congregation. And Lord, these sermons on joy may be painful for them to hear because of how they process and navigate it. Lord, would you be merciful to them today? Oh, God, be gracious. Draw near to them. Strengthen them in their inner man and inner woman. And give them great grace today, oh God. May today be a good day. And Lord, for those that are walking in a desert season, Father, would you give them a great vision of your glory? God, would you give them spiritual sight to see that you are the fountain of living waters? Jesus, you are the bread of life, and that this march through the wilderness will be worth it when their taste buds come back. And so, Father, give them grit, perseverance, and endurance. Lord, let us not be committed to a cool Christianity or an easy Christianity, but Lord, let us be disciples that take up our cross daily. Lord, you said if we lose our life for your sake, we'll find it. So Lord, help us to lose our lives so that we may find it, tasting and seeing that you are good. Protect us this weekend. Lord, we love you. We give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Fred, keep it real.
Keep it, Jesus.
Thank you for listening. We trust that God is stirring something special in your heart today. We hope to see you on Sunday very soon. Keep it real. Keep it, Jesus.